If you are following the Immerse Bible reading over the next 2 weeks, following this week, we'll be starting into the book of Acts. And Acts, of course, tells the story of the first generation of believers and how the gospel began to spread through the Middle East and Southern Europe and Africa. And the followers of Jesus were growing the church and also sacrificing for their faith, some even dying for the faith. And the stories in the book of Acts set the stage for the church age that we are now living in. Even 2,000 years later, we continue to live out our faith and grow the church and share the good news of Jesus Christ in much the same ways as those first believers did. We worship and pray and love one another in Jesus' name, just like that first generation of believers. And so this morning we're going to look at sort of a snapshot of what that early church was like and what that may teach us about how our church can also honor God in much the same way. But before we get into that, I want to share just a couple stories from modern church life. And I'll warn you, these stories may or may not be true. One Sunday there was a pastor who announced the beginning of the service, there will be a meeting of the board immediately following today's service. And so after the worship service, the church board gathered outside the sanctuary, but there was an unfamiliar face in their little gathering. And so the pastor turned to the man and said, well, thank you for visiting our church today, but don't you understand that this is a meeting of the board? And the man said, well, yes, sir. And after that sermon, I suppose I'm just as bored as the rest of these folks. So that's a story about a pastor. And then you may have heard, I think this was in the news recently, there was a Navy ship that was out in the Pacific somewhere, and they spotted smoke rising from an uncharted island. And as they sailed closer, they saw on the beach three huts, and outside one of the huts was a man in tattered clothing there. And so they pulled up, and they rescued the man. They brought him aboard the Navy ship. And as the man boarded the ship, he said, thank you for rescuing me. I've been all alone here on this island for years and years. And so the captain asked him, if you were all alone on the island, why do we see three huts there on the beach? And the man said, well, you see, I lived in one, and I went to church in one of the other huts. And the captain asked, well, what about the third hut? And the man said, well, that's where I used to go to church. You see, for 2,000 years, the church has been trying to get it right. Trying to get it right. Trying to build a church that is faithful to Jesus Christ. Trying to build a church that truly honors Him, where people are cared for, where people are loved, where God is worshipped. We've been trying to build a church that is the way that God wanted it to be. And the church doesn't get it right all the time. And we need to be willing to admit when we don't get it right. And you can watch the news, sadly, and see example after example. Even today, even here in our own culture and not too far from our own home, we don't always get it right. The church is a gathering of broken and needy people. The church is a gathering of kind-hearted and hard-working people. The church is a gathering of sinners who need a Savior. And we don't always get it right, and yet God still, 2,000 years later, calls the church, even people like us, to do the very most important thing that the world has ever attempted to do. The most important calling, the most important mission in the history of the world has been entrusted to the Church of Jesus Christ. We share the love and message of Jesus with people in need. And that's what the first generation of believers attempted to do, and it's what we attempt to do still today. So listen to what it was like for those first believers. This is from the end of Acts chapter 2, and this description written by Luke as he thinks back on those early days of the church, this description was of the church there in Jerusalem during those early days, maybe even early weeks, just after Jesus' resurrection and His ascension into heaven. And, of course, Peter preached on Pentecost, and 3,000 came to faith, and so the church was growing rapidly, and yet it was just existing there in Jerusalem among those very first believers. So, Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. In many ways, this passage is a model for church life. Of course, times have changed, culture has changed. The world that we live in today is very different than 2,000 years ago. And yet these verses still give us this picture, not just of how it used to be, but to some degree how it's supposed to be. This is what the church is supposed to be like. And so as we dig into this description of the early church, I want us to focus this morning on one word in particular that we read in the first verse of that passage. It's a word that captures what happens in the church. It describes the relationships that we share with one another, but it also describes the life that we share together. And that word is fellowship. Fellowship. We use the word fellowship to describe, maybe the way we use it today is a bit too casual. We often use fellowship just to mean our social gatherings. Last week we had a church picnic, and so we might talk about having fellowship with each other. Or maybe you gathered outside here before worship, and you had some coffee and some cookies, and we might say that was fellowship time. That's often how we use the word in the church today. But fellowship, while it means the friendships that we have and the time that we spend together, means a lot more than that in its biblical use. The biblical concept of fellowship runs a lot deeper. The Greek word behind what we bring into English as fellowship is a word koinonia, and it's used all throughout the New Testament to describe the relationships that folks in the church have with one another, but also to describe our relationship with God. Koinonia means a close mutual relationship. It also means an involvement in life together. And so there are some interesting uses in the New Testament that I want to draw your attention to as we think about what it means to have fellowship with one another in the church. So, for instance, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, it says this, God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship, into koinonia, with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So there, fellowship is used to describe not just our friendships in the church, but our relationship with Jesus Christ, our saving knowledge of Christ. In a similar way, in 1 John chapter 1, it says this, we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. In other words, the relationships that we have with people in the church should mirror or be a reflection of our relationship with God and with Jesus Himself. You see, fellowship is this special type of friendship that is shared among believers, but it's also a reflection of the relationship, the friendship that we have with God Himself, which makes fellowship a pretty important word. Perhaps the most striking use of koinonia in the New Testament is a passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And these are words that I share as we celebrate communion, as I break the bread, as I bless the cup. I use words from 1 Corinthians 10:16. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation a koinonia, a fellowship in the blood of Christ. And is not the bread that we break a participation, a fellowship in the body of Christ? And so you think about that understanding of fellowship, that it's much deeper than just having friendships. It's much deeper than just a potluck after church. Fellowship in its biblical concept is sharing together the deepest moments of life. Walking with one another through the high moments and the low moments. It's joining together and sticking together because we share in common the things that we value most highly. And that is why we gather here. Because we all have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because we all desire to worship God. Because we want to live out our faith in community with people who share those values, who share that faith. And so let me say it to you this way. Biblical fellowship is sharing what matters most with other followers of Jesus. That means that we share together everything from, yes, coffee and cookies before worship, but also we pray for one another in moments of need. And we walk with each other through moments of sorrow, and we rejoice together in times of blessing, that we share the ordinary things of life and we share the extraordinary things of life because we have chosen to gather together as the church, as the fellowship of followers of Jesus Christ. And so we want to think about that fellowship, what it was like for the early church, what it was like for that first generation of believers, but then also what it's like for us as we gather together with people who share in common what we consider to be the most important parts of our lives. So the first thing is this, that we share fellowship in the Spirit's power. That our fellowship is based on the fact that the Spirit is at work among us. And so back in Acts chapter 2, verse 43, it says, everyone in that gathering of those first believers, everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. And of course, it wasn't the apostles who had power, but it was the Holy Spirit working through them that did extraordinary things, just as Jesus was able to work miracles and heal people and cast out demons. As you read through the stories in Acts, you see that now the Holy Spirit is giving that same power to the leaders of that early church. And they're performing miracles. And people are being healed and demons are being cast out. And extraordinary things are happening through the Holy Spirit's power at work in the life of believers. And it says that everyone was witnessing this. Everyone who shared in that fellowship of the church was able to witness the Holy Spirit working among them. And this tells us a couple of things. First, it says that the fellowship happens in the place where the Spirit is working. That fellowship takes place where God is active. The fellowship that we enjoy together, we enjoy in the place where the Spirit is exercising power through God's people. And so we can also witness as we join together the Spirit's work, answering a prayer in your life and responding to a need in someone else's life and doing something extraordinary in our fellowship and drawing us together, we witness what the Spirit is doing among us. The second thing it tells us is that the Spirit's power works through our fellowship. In other words, there is power through the Spirit as we join together. And somehow in God's wisdom, He chooses to exercise that power through the gathering of His people and through the fellowship that we share together. The Spirit's power is most evident when the fellowship of God's people is most close. As we join together in fellowship, the Spirit's power is at work among us. And so our close fellowship enables fruitful ministry. We minister best out of strong and healthy relationships. We serve God best when we love each other best. And that's how God designed His church to be. And it's one reason that fellowship matters. Because when we're in close fellowship with one another, that is when we can best minister to our own needs, but also can reach out and share the good news with others. We also learn from the early church that we build fellowship by sharing our blessings. That one of the most important aspects of fellowship in the church is how we share our life together and share the blessings that God has given us together. And so it says that all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Verses like that always make us a little uncomfortable because we think, well, does that mean if we're going to be a part of the church that we have to sell our homes and our cars and give everything we have to the church and join a little commune? And I'll tell you, there are believers who do that. There are believers who make that radical lifestyle decision that we're going to join together. This little church is going to have everything in common and live together and live our lives and share everything that we have together. And that is one way to live out faith. And there's nothing wrong with that at all. At the very least, these verses tell us that we are called to care for each other. That when we see a need within the church, that we reach out to meet that need, whether it's a financial need or a physical need or a spiritual or emotional need, that we don't let brothers and sisters in faith just suffer in their needs unmet. That we reach out and love people and care for one another. We are all in the life of faith together. And fellowship in the church needs to be for us a full-time loving relationship. It's not just about coming together on Sunday morning, but it's about being involved in one another's lives. It's about knowing what's happening and caring for the needs that we see in the lives of people around us. One of the ways that we do this in the church, and this will be a little commercial for the church, is we have what's known as a care fund. It used to be known as the Deacon Fund for many years. The care fund is a place where people in the church can receive financial assistance. And so people of the church give to the care fund. And I know there are some folks who give every month. A portion of their offering goes into the care fund. And that fund gets built up. It's not a large amount of money, but it's there to meet the needs that may arise in the lives of people within the church. Now, we reach out and help people in the community in other ways, and we support local ministries that do important things throughout Rockford, but the care fund is for our church family. And so if you find yourself facing a financial need that you can't meet, come and talk to me. There is a resource for that. And that resource is meant to mirror these verses, that we care for one another within the church. Now, I also know that there are needs that are being met within the church privately, without running through the church books or any of that. Just someone hears about a need and someone else shows up to help. And it might be that a financial need is met, but it's also people helping out around the house with someone who maybe they aren't able to take care of the needs in their own home anymore, and so someone else shows up to provide that. Or maybe it's a ride to the doctor's office, or maybe it's some other practical need that is met. Maybe it's simply sitting with someone in need and praying for them and with them, and being there to love them just as Jesus does. We care for each other. We share the blessings that God has given us, so that the needs of our church family can be met. Now, this raises a third aspect of fellowship, that we enjoy fellowship at church and in our homes. You see, we are the church, whether we are here in this building or whether we gather somewhere else. We are the church not because we have this piece of property that we gather in each Sunday morning. We are the church because we are followers of Jesus Christ who have committed our lives to one another, just as we have committed our lives to Jesus. In fact, the earliest believers didn't have a church building. When they talked about the church, they never meant a building. They meant the gathering of believers. That was the church for them. And maybe we need to work hard, even in how we use the language of the church, to recapture that meaning. This is our building, and we're blessed to have it. It's a wonderful piece of property where we can gather, and we work hard to keep it nice. But the church are the people in this room. And we need to remember that. And so in verse 46, it says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. But also it says they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Now the temple courts, if you're not familiar, this was again the church that was there gathered in Jerusalem in that the very early days. And they would gather outside of the Jewish temple, which was a common place for people to gather. And they could be there along with the Jews who were going to worship God, along with others who were doing business there in Jerusalem or whatever brought them around the temple. And that was a place where those early believers would gather to have their fellowship. They were there until they were eventually forced by the Jews and eventually the Romans to they weren't allowed to be there anymore. And so they were dispersed from that place. They couldn't gather in the temple courts after a few years. And then, of course, we know the story of the Romans in 70 AD completely destroyed Jerusalem and the temple. And the church, as you read through the book of Acts, the church had to scatter, had to leave. They couldn't just stay there in Jerusalem. And that was at first hard for them, but then they realized eventually this is good news. This means that we can now take the gospel to the farthest ends of the earth. By the way, as you read through the book of Acts, that entire story, that first generation of believers, all takes place from the time Jesus left the earth, say around 35 AD, until about the late 60s AD. So only about 30-year period that is covered in the book of Acts. The book of Acts does not tell the story of the temple being destroyed in 70 AD. And I believe the entire New Testament was written before that event took place, during that first 30 years, that first generation of believers that takes up those stories in Acts. But those believers gathered there at the temple courts, but it says they also gathered in their homes and they shared meals together. And they spent their lives together. You see, in many ways, the fellowship of the church is not just about what we do on Sunday morning. The fellowship of the church is intended to be about how we meet one another's needs and how we share ministry together and how we share the good news with unbelievers and how we share meals together and how we spend our lives together, not just in the building that we call the church. It says they gathered with glad hearts. Glad because they loved each other and they enjoyed being together. Glad because they saw the Spirit working among them. Glad because they saw people coming to faith in Jesus. Glad because they saw the mission that Jesus had given them was being fulfilled in their midst and they got to be a part of it. The early church was a joyful fellowship. And as I look at our church 2,000 years later, this gathering of people at Broadway Covenant Church, in many ways we are also a joyful fellowship. We like each other. We enjoy spending time together. The picnic last Sunday was a great example of that, but it doesn't have to be a special event like that. It can just be gathering together. I'm sure there are many of you who will head out to lunch here in a few minutes. There was the 60-plus gathering on Wednesday this past week. Time after time, we meet together. We spend time together. We share life together. You see, you will find in this church people who will pray for you and who share your values and share your beliefs and people who can walk with you, who will walk with you through the difficult moments of life and through the joyful moments. And so I hope you find here that kind of fellowship. A fellowship where the followers of Jesus gather together in His name to love God, to honor God, to share the good news, to love one another. I hope that you find here a fellowship, a place where you can be connected, where you can have those friendships. I hope you find here people who gather in Jesus' name and who are held together by our love for Him and by His love for us. So let's ask God to bless our fellowship. Let's pray together. Lord, we do thank You for this fellowship, for this church that You've given us. I thank You for each one who is a part of it, the gifts You've given them, and the roles You've asked them to play within this fellowship. Lord, build us together as a strong and loving body. Help us to see the needs in our midst and reach out to meet those needs. Lord, even as we are sent out to share Your love with the community, help us also to love one another well. And I pray that as we do, the world would look at this church and see that this is a place where Jesus is at work, that the Spirit is doing mighty things among us. So, Lord, we thank You for this church, this gathering, this fellowship, and we ask Your blessing over the things that we do together as we share our lives in the name of Jesus. Amen.